that I was really him. Then, as I began to shrug aside this disguise, began to suffer the effects of the indoctrinal virus, catalyzing the release of even deeper layers of memory, glimpses into my hidden history, the one that went back centuries. Back to Sky Houseman. Something gave in me as the full realization of what I was sunk in. My knees buckled. I dropped to the rain-slicked ground and felt the urge to vomit. I had dropped the phone. Now it lay beside me, upended, so that I could still see Tanner's face, his expression quizzical. "Something the matter?" he asked. I spoke into the phone. "Amelia," I said, at first barely a whisper, then repeating her name more audibly. "She's with you, isn't she? You tricked her. Let's just say she's been very useful to me. She doesn't know what you mean to do, does she?" Tanner seemed to find this amusing. "She's a very trusting soul. She had her doubts about you, you know. Apparently, after you discharged yourself from the mendicants, she became aware of certain irregularities in your genetic code, evidence of what she naturally thought was congenital illnesses. She tried to contact you, but you were already becoming a very slippery customer." Tanner smiled again. "By then I'd revived and recovered my faculties. I remembered who I was and why I was on that flight from Sky's Edge. That I was after you, because you'd stolen my identity and memories. Of course, I didn't let Amelia know any of that. I just told her that you and I were brothers and that you were just a little confused. A little harmless deception. You can't blame me for it." No, that was true enough. I had also lied to Amelia, hoping that she'd give me a lead on Ryvich. "Let her go," I said. "She's nothing to you." "Oh, but she's much more than that. She's another reason to bring you here. Another reason why we should meet, Kaweya." His face was frozen for a moment, then the link terminated, leaving us standing in the rain. I passed the phone back to Zebra. "What about the other injury?" she asked, as we scudded back across the city in her car. "You said Tanner had lost a foot, and now there was no evidence of that ever happening. But that wasn't the only thing you had the Mixmaster look for." She shook her head. "You know, I want to keep calling you Tanner. It isn't easy, you know, talking to someone who denies their own name." "Believe me, it isn't easy from my side of the conversation either. Tell us about the other injury, then." I drew in breath. This was the hardest part of all. Tanner shot someone once, a man who he was working for, a man called Kaweya. "Nice of him," Chantrell said. "No, it wasn't like that. Tanner was actually doing this man a favor when he shot him. It was a hostage situation. Tanner had to fire a weapon through the man to..." My voice gained a crack. "To kill one of the gunmen who had Kaweya's wife at knife point. It wasn't going to kill Kaweya. Tanner knew that with the angle of the beam it wouldn't seriously injure the man. And?" "Tanner made the shot," Zebra said, "and it worked." In my mind's eye I watched Geeta fall to the floor, not via the knife blade, but through Tanner's errant shot. "The man lived," I said after a few moments. "Tanner's knowledge of anatomy was faultless. It came from being a professional killer, you see. They teach assassins which organs they need to hit to ensure a kill, but the knowledge can just as easily be inverted, to find the safest route for a beam to take through a body." "You make it all sound so surgical," Chantrell said. "That's just what it was. I told them the Mixmaster scan had found a healed, elongated wound running through my body, consistent with a beam weapon entering my back and exiting my abdomen at a positive angle."